This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
It was an incredibly emotional night at Cameron Indoor Stadium, with Jeff Capel returning to Cameron for the first time and Duke honoring Kobe Bryant and Gene Corrigan. But let's start with Coach K telling the crazies to shut up. And this has become a lot bigger of a story than I expected it to be. Then I looked on the calendar and reminded myself, oh yeah, it's the middle of the week, so people are going to drum up things that seem to be small and make them a lot bigger. But whenever you have any concern about how involved Coach K is with this Blue Devil team and what happens in Durham, in that historic building, let last night be a reminder that Coach K, he is the master puppeteer of Cameron Indoor Stadium. He controls and manipulates every aspect of that place. The players, the atmosphere, the media, shooting down questions, such as the ones that I ask from time to time, the fans even, as we learned last night. This is probably the best example I can bring up of this. And I'll get to some of the experiences I saw up close and personal at Cameron last night in just a bit. I remember last year, Robert, Duke was playing a game during winter break where the students weren't there. It was a game Duke was expected to win by a ton, and they weren't. It was about the under 16 timeout in the second half. It was a single-digit lead for the Blue Devils. It was just a dead atmosphere. You had a bunch of alums in there. It wasn't completely packed, and the Blue Devils were just going through the motions. So then I saw Coach K angrily sprint out of the Blue Devils huddle and go straight to the scorer's table. There aren't many reasons for a coach to go from his bench to the scorer's table during a game. So I found that to be interesting. Then what followed that moments later was, I think, a Black Eyed Peas song just blaring as loud as anything you can imagine. Actually, I'll go a step further. Whatever you're picturing as being very loud, music-wise, amp that up about two notches. That's how loud it was. I had to cover up my ears. It felt like I was at a disco club or a dance club. It was very loud, and it resonated with me, and it still does. It's something I remember. After that game, I asked Coach K about what he was doing in that timeout when it was a single-digit lead, because Duke went on to route whoever they were playing from that point on. He said he went to the scorer's table and said, look around this place. The band is dead. The fans are dead. My team's going through the motions. I need you to play whatever song you have there and to play it as loudly as possible. We need some bleeping juice in this place. That's what we need. And that's exactly the button he needed to push. Last night, it might have been the most angry I've seen Coach K at the students. They were chanting, Jeff Capel, come sit with us. Which normally I think is a recruiting chant that they have. Like if a Zion Williamson or Cassius Stanley type is in the crowd, that's something that they would chant. Since Jeff Capel was a Duke player who was on Coach K's staff for a long time, they thought it would be fitting. But Coach seemed to only hear Capel's name, and maybe, Robert, he heard something other than the word sit, potentially. That was my first thought, because that would make the reaction he had justified. His face was red, and I could hear him from where I was sitting right in front of the crazies. He was so loud, shut up! Shut up! And the half ended, Nate James had to restrain him. And he said after the game that he told the crowd, he's one of us, and that's true. But before that, he said, don't say anything about him. Don't say anything about him. Don't make fun of him. He's one of us. That was the message from K. So I really don't think it was that big of a deal, but Coach K after the game talked about it a little bit, and this is what he thought of the matter.
Once I heard his name again, I'm not going to go say, will you please tell me exactly what you're doing? So it's a mistake on my part, but I'd rather make the mistake in protection of my guy. And then I went just at the end of the half and said, look, he's our guy. You know, he's our guy.
You can tweet the show at SportsUpTriad. The Drive is broadcast live in the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios. Learn about all the ways that Tim Wellborn can help you online at timwellborn.com. You'll know when you need us. In about 25 minutes, B-Dot will join us in studio from Wild and Out. He's the unofficial mascot of Tar Heel basketball. North Carolina coming off that win against NC State just a couple of days ago. Aaron Gabriel hanging out in studio as well. Robert Walsh is producing today's show. This also should be a reminder. Coach K is not a figurehead. This gets suggested for coaches who are past the age of 65, who have been in college coaching for a long time. It's just something that fans have said forever, and they're going to continue doing so. They're just going to assume that if you're past the age of 65 or 70, Coach K being 72, that you're not really pressing all the buttons still. You're not the one who's running the show. You're just a figurehead. And in some cases, that might be true. Joe Paterno is probably the best example I can think of. I love Joe Paterno. I love the example he set, even though his career ended with terrible publicity in PR. He's still one of the finer football coaches and finer gentlemen we've ever seen in the sport, and I think as time goes on, he's going to be remembered more that way. But the final decade he was with Penn State, the assistants were the ones that were really running that program. Bobby Bowden, there was some of that there with Jimbo Fisher underneath of him. With Coach K, he's still the person who lands the recruits. He is still somebody who's engaged in every way, whether it's the crowd, the atmosphere, the players, the opposition, the media. The West Point inside of him that courses through his blood isn't going to allow for him to be a figurehead. The moment he finds himself resembling a figurehead in any way, that's when he's going to step away. And I have no doubt he would do that, because he wouldn't hold Duke hostage in any way. He wouldn't want things to be uncomfortable. And I think he's still so competitive, he wants to win every single time he goes out on the floor. But it was Jeff Capel's return, and you had more people talking about what's going to be next when Coach K retires, because Capel is probably the front runner to become the next Duke basketball coach. It's likely going to be somebody with Duke ties, whether that's Chris Collins at Northwestern or Johnny Dawkins, one of the greatest Blue Devils ever at UCF, almost knocked off Duke in the NCAA tournament last year. Mike Bray was the longtime assistant for K, who's done great things at Notre Dame. Maybe even a Steve Wojciechowski or Jeff Capel, of course. So these are the guys who are going to be considered to become the next coach. But the energy's still there for Coach K. That's evident. So I'm not going to be the one to put any timeline on when that's going to be. Would I be surprised if he coaches five more years? Probably. But it wouldn't be the most surprising thing I've seen. Certainly one of the more surprising headlines in recent memory happened Sunday, though. Coach K passing away. And one of the things that's going to stick with me, or of Kobe Bryant, excuse me. What did I just say, Aaron?
You just killed Coach K.
I just killed Coach K. Yeah. I just looked around the studio, and you guys looked at me with a look of fear. So that's something that would happen. Talking about Kobe Bryant. So my apologies to the Coach K family.
KB rushing to be first, man. Had enough of that.
Nah, we're not going to do that today. But what's going to stick with me last night, they put 24.8 seconds on the clock for a tribute to Kobe and Gianna Bryant, to Gene Corrigan, to the rest of the people killed in Calabasas on Sunday in that helicopter crash, and just seeing the emotion on everybody's face. The person who was the most emotional was
former Blue Devil great Nolan Smith, who's the director of basketball operations for K. And just tears were streaming down his face. Matthew Hurt had GG and KB written on his shoes. So did Cassius Stanley, who you have to remember is from Los Angeles. He actually consulted Kobe Bryant, asking him why he should play for Coach K. So it was a very emotional night. Jeff Capel got a technical foul and his return back. Coach K screaming at the fans. And then, of course, the tribute with the warm-up shirts and all. Had 24 on the back and 8 on the front. It was a memorable night at Cameron Indoor Stadium. We are just a couple of days from Super Bowl 54. What is today? Wednesday? So I guess we're a few days away from Super Bowl 54. Aaron is wearing his Kansas City Chiefs jacket, so he's ready for this. And we'll see what happens right here on Sports Hub Dryad as we're going to be carrying Super Bowl 54 starting at 5 o'clock. That's when our coverage is going to begin. Kevin Harlan and friends will be on the call. 6:30 kick on Sports Hub Dryad. But talking about the Super Bowl, every year I find myself watching all the modern-day halftime shows. Ever since the Justin Timberlake incident with Janet Jackson, the Super Bowl halftime shows have been different over the last 15 years. So I started thinking about what are the best Super Bowl halftime shows of all time. And I've got my top five coming up. My top five Super Bowl halftime shows on The Drive.
Here comes the life of the party.
The Drive.
Corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children.
With Josh Graham.
Program for low expectations.
On Sports Hub Triad. Woo!
My expectations are very low for this Super Bowl halftime show on Sunday. This is Shakira. You might not know this is Shakira because aside from Hips Don't Lie, I don't think she has a hit that anybody knows. Jennifer Lopez, I don't know when her last hit was. So those two are going to be coupled together, and this is the first Super Bowl halftime show with the NFL being partnered with Roc Nation and Jay-Z. Really, Jay? This is the most disappointing thing you've done since the 444 album. Whatever that was. On Twitter at SportsHubDryad if you want to chime in. I've been told that Aaron Gabriel has a Shakira impression that I'm interested in hearing because she does have, you would agree, Robert, a pretty distinctive voice. Like, if you hear Shakira speak, you know that's her performing, yes?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a dialect thing. Like, I don't know what's her ethnicity, you know?
South African.
Okay, it's like it definitely comes across when she talks.
She's either South African or Colombian. I need to be careful because last segment I killed Coach K, you know? I meant to say Kobe, starts with a K, I said K. There's no excuse. I don't know why I'm making excuses for myself, but I just want to get it right. I'm pretty sure it's either Colombian or South African.
She's Colombian.
Yeah, they're very far apart.
They are very far apart. That's why I said I was wrong before you could say I was wrong. I corrected myself, which is something that happens when you have to speak for 3 hours on end. Sometimes you say Shakira is South African instead of Colombian. Sometimes you kill Coach K. Sometimes that happens. I don't know how to justify it. But is it true, Aaron, that you have a Shakira impression that you could share with us?
I think I do.
Do you need music to accompany this?
No.
All right.
It's not going to be worthy of musical accompaniment.
But Aaron is a talented musician. You have a band you are a frontman for called Funk Mob.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned that you are very musically gifted, even in the way of impressions. Like you and Robert were singing Macy Gray about a month ago. I enjoyed that.
I don't know if this is going to fall in the gifted range.
All right.
It's not going to be
so
as good as your Macy.
Let's lay out. B-Dot's going to join us in studio in a little over 10 minutes. Let's lay out here. Aaron, give us your best impression of Shakira.
Oh, baby, will you talk like that? You make a woman go mad. That's
I can right. deal. I can deal with that.
Can you do better than that, Robert?
No, mine is like I don't even know what to do. Honey, I don't know. What does she sound like? That's what I'm saying. I can't even sing.
I think you just need to have a little bit of a fluid voice. Like her voice, it just turns. Like if you play some of her music, give me just a sample of something that she has. You can kind of hear that her voice changes like this. That actually wasn't that bad.
Wasn't bad at all.
Right? But you know what I'm saying? Like, the voice just turns and changes. That's really what we're looking for here.
It's like constant vibrato.
Whenever, wherever.
See, you do the best one. I think it should have been you that gave.
I didn't know I had this gift.
You should have been practicing.
You got
to
cultivate.
Keep going.
This.
I mean, you know the words. You've listened to all these songs.
I am home tonight. You know my hipster.
Don't stop. I feel like I'm at the halftime show.
Well, I need a little bit of music to accompany it. I don't want to go a cappella.
You got
to
dance, too.
That's not how it works. If you have a good Shakira impression, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. I think what we're doing right now, the halftime show, it usually lasts 12 or 13 minutes. It's going to be better than whatever they do Sunday. I guarantee it. Whatever this segment is producing, I think is going to be better than the halftime show and better than what Demi Lovato does during the national anthem. I buy that. So I'm completely out on it. However, I think this might actually work Jay-Z in the NFL's way. I feel like expectations for the halftime show, which are generally out of whack, are relatively low this year. So maybe they can overachieve or at least exceed that bar where people said, oh, well, I didn't really expect much from Shakira and Jennifer Lopez, but that was a surprising appearance by person X. Let's say Pitbull just popping up in Miami.
Who would be excited about that, though?
Dolly.
Not me. Not for Pitbull, at least.
Do you got something drummed up over there? 336-777-1600 if you want in on today's show. So...
Shakira, Shakira.
I think this is just Wyclef's part, right?
Is it karaoke? Just kill it.
I'm trying to remember the words. Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise.
Okay, hold on. You were doing so good before the music started, and you turned into an old woman.
I was scared.
Don't be scared. Look,
I was scared.
Look, we're going to lean into this, and I want you to be as comfortable as possible. Just pretend it's just me, you, and Aaron, and we're hanging out, and we're just trying to have a good impression.
People in the office and in the lobby are looking in.
Don't worry about them. It's just us.
Black out the windows.
Dim the lights a little bit.
It's just us.
All right, dim the lights a little bit.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah, not that low. Not okay. Right there.
Right.
All right. Shakira, Shakira.
We talk like that. You make a woman go mad. So be fast and keep on breathing the shines of my body.
Yeah.
I'm home tonight. You know my hips don't lie. Start to feel it's right.
Yeah.
All right, that's what we got. Turn that off. Get it out of here. Just brutal.
That was great.
They're going to call you next year for the halftime show.
This might be the worst start to a show we've ever had.
Every time you say that, I'm so happy. Because I know we're doing some off-the-wall
that
stuff.
That right there and me killing Coach K might be the two worst things that we've done on this show. And that's saying a lot.
A South African.
Well, that's true. I did that. But that happens. Like... I mean, can you really tell the difference between Colombians and South Africans if they both speak English?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Let's gracious. Hear Josh sing again.
Kill it, Aaron.
Shakira, Shakira. I'm just kidding. We don't have to do that.
No, let's not. I'm not. I'm completely done with that. Do we have the bell? I have my five. I've watched all the Super Bowl halftime shows in the modern era. So I'm not going way back to Whitney Houston. Oh, wait, she sang the national anthem. I'm not going way back to Michael Jackson in Los Angeles or some of those just group sessions where you had six or seven different acts performing in a 10-minute span. I'm talking about in the last 15 years. These are my five favorite Super Bowl halftime shows. Are we ready to do this? Number five on my list, Justin Timberlake 2 years ago. Number four, U2 post 9/11. Number three, Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, this might be number one if not for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They ruined that entire performance almost. Bruno almost couldn't rescue it. Number two, Beyonce. And the number one Super Bowl halftime show of the modern era, Prince. I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
No Janet Jackson, Justin?
Post that.
You're not going to put it? Okay.
No. Also, it's the Panthers, Patriots, Super Bowl, trying to block that out a little bit.
I'm trying to remember everything about that halftime show.
Oh, yeah? Well, you should. There are a lot of things other than that you can remember from that halftime show.
That's mostly what I'm trying to remember, is the other things.
Like Nelly wearing, I'm trying to think of the right way to describe what he was wearing.
He used to wear Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Was there a Band-Aid involved?
Perhaps.
Maybe some rhinestones.
Yeah. He was on stage with Diddy, who was wearing a Julius Peppers Panthers jersey.
What do you mean how to describe this? It's a white wife beater, black pants.
Well, that was the part of it. I don't know if you could say wife beater on the radio.
It's not like he really beat a wife to earn that.
Me and my girl have this argument all the time. Like, she swears it's an A shirt. I'm adamant it is a wife beater.
Yeah.
That's what the shirt is called. I didn't make this up.
I wonder why it's called a wife beater. Is it because when you look at that, the men that wore those beat their wives? Or
probably.
Like,
can you look that up?
Yeah, for sure. I'm more interested in that.
Like, this is already the worst radio segment of all time. So we should continue to go down this road.
Yeah, let's just push for it. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's called that. Like, there has to be another name.
An A shirt is like the name that's on the package. Nobody wants to say an A-shirt. That's terrible.
I've never heard of an A-shirt before.
I'm telling you, that's what it says on the package. It's A-shirt.
Do we have...
It's literally the first thing that pops up in Google after I type in the first word is shirt.
An A-shirt?
No. When I type in...
Why not just an undershirt? Oh, white beater pops up. Got it.
Yeah, instantly.
Why don't we just call it an undershirt? Because... I guess some people wear it as outer shirts, like Nelly during the Super Bowl. He does that. Yes, Robert?
Yeah, that's exactly why it's called that. In 1947, a brutal crime happened in Detroit where a man wearing, now called a wife beater, beat his wife to death. So fun. Anybody else want to talk about anything else other than that?
Great!
Yeah. Now I've got to retire it.
Yeah, now it's got to be an A shirt.
Yeah, it's got to come up with something else for it.
Can we steer out of the awkwardness the way we began this segment with some Shakira?
Please.
Potentially.
Shakira, Shakira!
I'm going to do this read.
Oh my God, I wanted you to do your tease in the Shakira
That's
voice.
That's what I'm saying. I'll do a tease in the Shakira voice here. Usually I'm not going to sad.
Don't stop.
With multimillionaires. Yelling at broke students. But as it pertains to the last night, I'm with Coach K. I'll tell you why when B-Dot joins us at studio next. It is time for my top 10 Super Bowl halftime shows that I'd like to see. Man, where was UGK last year for the Atlanta Super Bowl?
Well,
Andre 3000. Like, it would have been great if we got him involved instead of just Big Boy.
Big Boy.
That was ridiculous. That was so embarrassing. I remember all of Atlanta was super upset about that. Like, you're in Atlanta, the hip-hop mecca of the world, and the only representation you have is Big Boy and freaking...
Travis Scott. So now they're going to Miami. Got to have a Latina feel to it. Let's bring in Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. I'm sure that's going to go swimmingly.
Here are the top 10 halftime shows that I'd like to see beyond this year. See,
is this a thing now where y'all do this together?
We should hold hands.
No, that's not necessary.
Number 10. My number 10 halftime show that I'd like to see. J. Cole Anthony.
I like what you did there. I like both of those guys. Hey, as a matter of fact, both of them have been quiet for a long time. I'd like to see both of them in the near future. How about that?
Yesterday was
six
J.
weeks.
Cole's birthday.
Was it? Oh, it was J. Cole's birthday. Sure was.
Number 9, top 10 Super Bowl halftime shows I'd like to see. Tiger Woods.
Here we go again.
Tiger.
Woods. Right, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Number 8, for Shizzle. My number 8 Super Bowl halftime show I'd like to see. Jack White.
What am I missing?
You don't know who Jack White is, do you?
For the place for Duke?
Him, and then there's a musician as well.
No, I'm not familiar with
from,
the musician.
What? Red Stripes, right?
White Stripes.
White Stripes.
Last name.
Sorry.
Number 7. My number 7 Super Bowl halftime show I'd like to see. Lady Gaga. Let's try that again. My number 7 Super Bowl halftime show I'd like to see. Lady Garoppolo.
Yeah, you said
and
you're
when
super
I'm with
failure.
Friends,
yeah.
I like to have fun.
It looked a lot better written down, I'm sure.
It does look a lot better written down.
But what she had to say, Gaga Garoppolo.
Yeah, Gaga
Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I should probably say Gaga Garoppolo.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. It rolls off the tongue. We'll just edit all this out in post.
No, don't.
Number 6. The number 6 Super Bowl halftime show I'd like to see. U2, Tall Jones.
Nice. This tuna
that was cool.
Boring. Stop having a boring tuna. Stop having a boring life.
What was that?
A random noise.
Number 4. Or make it number 5. My number 5 halftime show I'd like to see. Beyonce, Quan Barkley.
Oh, my man.
Beyonce, Quan Barkley. Okay, I like that. I like Beyonce, Quan Barkley. Okay. All right.
Number 4. Number 4 on my list. Halftime shows I'd like to see. Tom Lizzo.
Hey, can you put a little bit more work on this sometime?
Oh, hell no.
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
You like Aaron Tom Lizzo? That one.
Are you like Tom Lizzo?
Tom Lizzo ain't bad.
Tom Lizzo. Robert is deadpan, lifeless, regretting the decision, becoming the producer of this show right now. Number 3, Tom Brady and the Heartbreakers.
Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
Mm-mm. Number 2,
mm-mm.
The number 2 halftime show I want to see. Adele Curry?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Wait.
And number 1.
Good job on Adele. It better be better than Adele Curry.
The number 1 Super Bowl halftime show I'd want to see.
It's not going to be better than Adele Curry.
Red Panda.
Well. The most diabolical haters this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah. Who the hell is Red Panda?
You haven't seen Red Panda?
Oh, is that the lady that tosses the plates in the bowls?
The bowls on top of her head.
Oh, yes, I have seen
her. We need that in the Super Bowl halftime show. That'd be a lot better than J-Lo and Shakira.
I don't know. Have you seen that once? You've seen it 1,000 times.
She's had a rough stretch.
Has she?
In the last
I would
month.
Rather her drop them.
Right, she has recently. Like, uh-oh. She had a really rough outing. And either Tallahassee or it might have been in Clemson she struggled with. In Wake Forest, she dropped 2 bowls. I saw it a month ago.
Really? Do they break?
No.
Oh, they're plastic bowls?
Well, that takes all the fun out of it. Yeah, I'm not impressed anymore. The plates don't break. Yeah. What, she's up there with plastic plates and stuff?
They're bowls.
Okay, plastic bowls. But I'm tired of that.
I am a little bit disappointed now that they don't shatter. I thought that my reward for seeing her fail would be the shing-a-ling-a-ling and not getting
I don't remember them shattering. They might shatter.
They don't. You would have remembered them shattering.
For real. Right. It would be everywhere.
They would have had to sweep up the floor and
all
that.
She's got those Pyrex bowls that never break that your grandma's had for 4 years.
Red Panda is an ACC legend. It is something that is undefeated, never lost. Every time you watch it, every time you watch Red Panda, you're going to be amazed by what you're looking at.
She's on a unicycle, flipping bowls on her head. It's amazing.
With her feet.
It's amazing.
There's not even a real panda there.
Eating eucalyptus.
Thanks.
That's a koala.
Koala, is that what they eat?
If there was an actual panda doing what Red Panda does, that would be the greatest Super Bowl halftime show.
I would be impressed. Pandas eat bamboo. Just a little animal fact.
Man, I know what pandas eat.
Fire up the Tar Heel fight song. We'll get to that shortly.
No, you don't.
As B-Dot has a message to the Tar Heel Nation after the Tar Heels beat NC State. We'll do that in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there actually a Super Bowl halftime show that you could see happening in the next few years and you're surprised, quite frankly, it hasn't happened already? Because for me, where's the Imagine Dragons halftime show? I don't want it. But you know, I think Hayes Permar once told us, you know the Imagine Dragons halftime show is coming eventually. I'm a Taylor Swift fan, so I'd love to see Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Drake, how's that not happened yet?
Mm. I'd rather see Parliament Funkadelic do a halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Now that sounds like fun.
It does.
It does sound like fun, but I don't think that would ever happen.
Oh, no.
Well, that's because it'd be a bunch of Swisher Sweet papers on the field they'd have to get off at the end of the set, guys.
I don't know. Being on the field for 10 minutes? Mm. Robert, who would you like to see?
I don't really care. This is when I get snacks. This is when I go outside and take a walk with your cousin. No, I don't. Never. It just doesn't trip my trigger.
Mm. I don't know. I've liked them in the past. Like, I really like more recent ones, like the Bruno Mars ones and the Beyonce ones with Coldplay. I really enjoyed those. I don't think I really enjoyed last year's like that. And I don't really look forward to liking this year's like that.
But so, we spent a lot of time. We were talking about Duke basketball last night. They beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We're going to give away Wake Forest basketball tickets for Saturday.
Let's go Wake tonight.
The Deacs face Clemson Saturday. Tonight they're at Notre Dame. We'll give away those tickets in addition to Old Dominion tickets as well.
Mm.
And we'll tell you how to win. In fact, we need to probably think about a good way to let somebody win these tickets. Robert had the idea. How about we have them?
Shakira, Shakira.
Give us their best Shakira impression. And if whoever does it best, it's a great prize. You get 4 tickets to Wake Saturday and 4 tickets to see Old Dominion in May. So you're talking about 8 tickets. And if each one's going at a cheapest of $15, $20 a piece, I'm not great at math. But that's about $150, $160 value.
Yeah.
So going on the radio singing Shakira, that's what we're going to do.
Going to be very entertaining for all parties.
Right. So we got the Duke bass covered. We got Wake Forest as well. The Tar Heels beat NC State. NC State, they had their time yesterday. I still feel for Wolfpack fans a little bit.
Do you?
I do.
Did they call up grieving?
Oh.
What did they call up saying yesterday? I didn't get a chance to catch the show. Please tell me. Someone tell me. What did the Wolfpack fans have to say yesterday?
1 minute. We'll tell you what they had to say yesterday. There's no fan base that's more tortured than NC State fans.
Really?
In college sports. I don't think there's anything across the country. No ACC football, men's or women's basketball, or baseball championships since 1991. And the thing is, they've had good players in all those sports and great coaches. Elliot Avent, Kay Yao. I mean, basketball with Herb Sendek and Mark Godfrey, great players who have come through. Kevin Keats now. Football, Chuck Amato, Phillip Rivers, Mario Williams, Bradley Chubb. It is kind of sad yet impressive the place where NC State is at. The fan base, I should say. It's sad. I feel bad for them. But it's impressive how much they still are engaged in it.
That's what I was going to say.
You guys were taunting NC State fans at Kickback Jacks the other night. These poor NC State fans are sitting there. You, Sawyer, and Robert, you're just clapping louder than they are.
No, they were trying to outclap us. It was a clap-off.
Yeah, they were clapping in a very aggressive
manner. They were. Like, I'm talking about, like, I didn't even realize it. We're just sitting there minding our business, having a couple beverages.
No, you weren't.
And
you
then
were
all of a sudden,
loudly.
You just hear these loud claps and yells and woos every time they would score a little rinky-dink basket. So we had to go up 10 on them. Smack him around. Show little brother, you'll never be big brother, even on our worst year.
B-Dot has no issue. He wants that smoke.
Yeah.
All the time he wants it.
Yeah.
And now he's confident. He's indignant. North Carolina winning its last two games, its first two conference games of the year. And on Monday, beating NC State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all still cooked.
Shut up. Can we please enjoy our moment? Can we please?
I'm trying to allow for him to enjoy his
Jesus
moment.
Christ.
That's what we're trying to do here.
I just want
to
enjoy my moment. And people, listen, Duke fans, mind your business. Okay, we know where we are. We know we're in the cellar of the ACC right now, but oh, man. Yeah, you hear it. Theme music. We're gelling right at the right time, Tar Heel Nation. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about the naysayers. They want to talk about, oh, you got two wins, so now you want to smile. You're damn right you want to smile. We haven't smiled in 2020. So we're going to smile till our face and our cheeks hurt. You understand? We're going to be happy about it. NC State, it felt good beating that puppy pack. Spanking them all around. Now we're about to go down on the road, get us a dub at Boston College, and be ready for Florida State. By then, hopefully, the armed warrior, Cole Anthony, will be ready to return. And back to the top we go. Let's go, Tar Heel Nation! Let's go! Don't you feel it? Doesn't it just feel good to get a win? It's just so beautiful. We can smile at work the next day, not act like that we didn't play the night before, wear our actual colors
and
stuff
like
that.
You sounded like Coach K there with your let's go.
Did I?
Yeah. Let's go!
That's how I sounded?
A little bit. Sounded a little bit that way.
You look dismayed about it.
Tar Heel fans, let's go.
Are you saying that defense. I sounded nasally?
Defense.
I didn't even say defense. I said, let's go. Did I say? I got to listen to the playback. See if I sounded nasally. Let's go. Let's go. That's how I said it. Let's go. So that might be part of it. You're a jerk, Josh Graham. Josh just brings me on his show to pick on me. That's what he does. He does. Every time the Tar Heels lose or win, he's like, hey, you want to come up and so we can talk about it? And then I get up here and he tells me how much we suck. I'm starting to see what your plan is, Josh Graham.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I enjoy having you in here, B-Dot.
Well, thank you. Treat me like it.
Appreciate you coming in here, and congratulations on your team's win the other night.
Thank you very much.
I pick fun at everybody, including myself.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
As you should.
And Robert, he keeps me in check quite a way over there.
Can we tell the people how horrible of a person you are or were at dinner the other night before I leave? Can I let them know?
Please do. Somebody's got to put him on blast.
Can I please let them know?
All right, we're going to give away tickets. While he's telling the story, line up some phone callers at 336-777-1600 for Wake Forest and Old Dominion tickets. But what's the story?
All right, so listen. It's very simple. You go out to eat with your lady. The waitress comes up, and the waitress says, can I take your order? What are you supposed to do?
Order if you're ready.
So you're a Josh
Graham.
Or
let the lady go first.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to let your lady order. Do you think Josh Graham let his lady order? Hell no. Josh Graham jumped out there so fast and we stopped him. Hey, Josh.
I was hungry.
Josh, you're with your lady, bro. You don't think she wants to place her order? She smiles at Josh and Josh smiles at her and Josh turns right back to the waiter and makes his order.
Wait, y'all told him and he still
Yes, man.
I was already halfway in. I was halfway in, and I had to, I already made the bed.
Yeah.
Right.
We gave him the floor to right his wrong, and he still was just the self-serving, arrogant man that he was in the moment.
Are you done?
Yep. Just thought I'd let your audience know what type of person they're listening to every day.
That is B-Dot from the 3 Live crew.
That's Josh
Graham. The unofficial
Graham.
Mascot of Tar Heel basketball. If you want to win tickets to watch Wake Forest Saturday against Clemson, we got a 4-pack and also a 4-pack of tickets to see Old Dominion. You got to sing a little Shakira, though. Whoever does it the best, 336-777-1600, you're able to win. Yes, Robert.
I had our first caller call in, and I said, Sports Up Triad, what's your name? Where are you calling from? He gave me his name, and I was like, you have your Shakira impression ready. He said, my what?
Yeah.
I said, your Shakira impression, that's how you're going to win these tickets. And he said, oh,
click.
I'm going to have to pass.
That's a big no for me, dog.
Yes.
4-pack of Wake Forest tickets Saturday, and also a 4-pack to go see Old Dominion in May. So
see, here's what sucks, though, Josh. Like, if I'm driving and I'm listening, I'm like, yo, I would love that. However, I, B-Dot, don't know any Shakira.
Well, that's
at
fine.
All.
Sing. Just sang a little bit of Shakira.
You don't have to sing even the lyrics. Just give us her voice.
Give us her voice. Sang a little bit of the song.
Josh did a great job of it earlier. Josh, I think they need an example.
Yes, Josh, can you please give us an example?
Can
of
you
how
just play something we did earlier?
No, no.
Do you need something
right
live
here.
Again?
They didn't.
All right, I'm going to do this one time.
Okay.
One more time, and we're way over on this segment. Holy bleep.
Don't get upset with us.
I mean, producer Rob probably should get us out.
Let's go.
Shakira, Shakira. Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on eating the sides of my body. I'm home tonight. You know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel it's right.
Go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Real slow.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Right? All right. 336-777-1600.
That was Shakira.
Make a fool out of yourself for a few seconds. If you're funny, we'll give you a 4-pack of tickets to Wake Forest and Clemson and also to Old Dominion in May.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that.
Oh, snap. B-Dot, we're going to give you an opportunity to send us into break. Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, I don't know the words, so I'm going to freestyle for a minute now. Smoking pot now, drinking frilly now, coronavirus now. I do not know why I talk like that. Shakira, shake her booty and her hips now. Now go J-Lo, she's a no-ho. She came up from dancing so slow.
Hey,
hey,
hey.
This is...
What is this?
The Drive.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You dig it?
Oh, God.
With Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
You know our next guest from Packer in Durham, inside a basement in Charlotte. It is Wes Durham, who also doubles as the radio voice of the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get to Super Bowl 54 in just a little bit. But I gotta
know. Don't forget the dogs.
And the cat. Chester,
yeah, well,
and Fuller.
Clifford did a drive-by. Yeah, Clifford got a drive-by. So, you know, he came in. We got the contract negotiated. You know, he got his fee and everything else. So he'll be occasional guest in the basement. He's not a regular by any stretch.
We have a strong audience in Burlington, Wes, and I gotta know, what is the best chant they had at Mighty Elon when you were there?
The best chant we had at Alumni Gym. Probably Mug Night, because everybody leave the game and go up the street to the place where literally when I was in school there, all you had to do was show up with something that had a handle and you could fill it up for a dollar.
Do you know what I took away from last night? I was at Cameron.
No, sure.
It is Coach K. Anybody who thinks this guy is a figurehead at this point in his career is dead wrong. You're not going to have that. The West Point in his blood won't allow for that. This guy is a master puppeteer of that stadium. He controls every single aspect of what goes on in there. The players, the atmosphere, the media, and of course the fans. So when they start chanting the coach's name, I don't want to be a guy who litigates what fans do, whether it's storming onto the floor or chanting coaches' names. It was just awkward more than anything else because it was Jeff Capel.
Well, I think the other thing too is you have to remember kind of how that process over there now works too, right? I mean, there's the sheet that goes out, the line monitors, all the things that make up, quote-unquote, the crazies. And, you know, when something develops or germinates, if it's not on that sheet, that's a problem, okay? Because that's how, I guess, some of that stuff came to be born years ago. But, you know, look, somebody started something, the legend thought he heard something else, and one thing led to another. I mean, I don't quite know how else to describe it other than it wasn't a good look for anybody over there, right?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, and look, and Jeff handled it the way I knew Jeff would. You know, he and Jason are friends, and I knew he would handle it the right way. I'm not sure that, you know, Coach was on edge a little bit about, you know, other things, including the game at the time, whatever. But it wasn't a good look, and I think everybody feels badly about it, and apologies have been issued. So, you know, let's move on. But you know, maybe the process of whatever the students now get involved in with the, like I said, the line monitors or whatever they're called over there at Cameron, who, you know, disseminate the information to the crazies and all that kind of thing for the students to chant and stuff during the game. And however that's set up and choreographed, maybe they got to come up with a little cleaner process in the, along the way too.
It's been a rough week for everybody who follows basketball, and there have been many tributes to Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi, and last night it was pretty emotional in Cameron in that regard as well, and rightfully so. But I wanted to bring you in here, Wes, to talk about Gene Corrigan and to capture his impact on the ACC, because he pretty much in every corner of the league, you're going to find some impact from Gene Corrigan. And I feel like with the Kobe news on Sunday and just the way the news cycle works, it's kind of been slept over a little bit, and it certainly should not be. What made him somebody that Coach K called last night a Mount Rushmore figure for the league?
To me, Gene Corrigan's vision for what college athletics was and would become was second to none. I think he's somebody that also was able to identify guys who, you know, he could have on his team. And I'll include the late Tom Mickle in that, because I think Tom Mickle, and everybody's probably heard the story by now, that he and Corrigan sat at dinner one night and literally on a cocktail napkin, he laid out the Bowl Alliance, which would become ultimately the BCS, right? And I think Tom Mickle had great vision. Rick Crist, who worked for him for years. You know Brian Morrison, Josh.
Of course.
Guys that had great vision. Fred Barakat, who came and ran basketball and some other sports for the ACC. You know, there were just a lot of things about Gene Corrigan that, you know, made a lot of things that just we've taken for granted in the ACC happen. He was the one that, you know, Bob James, who was the commissioner prior to Corrigan, had taken the ACC basketball tournament out of the state of North Carolina for the first time in 1976 when it went to Landover at the Capitol Center. And Gene Corrigan was a beneficiary of that because Virginia upset Carolina in the championship game. But Gene Corrigan, when he came back as commissioner, knew that the tournament had gone out of state again to Maryland, had it gone to Atlanta in 85. But he also, when it went to Atlanta in 1989 and J.R. Reed and Carolina played Danny Ferry and Duke in the title game at the Omni with 4,000 empty seats, Gene Corrigan wasn't so sure that playing the tournament outside the walls of North Carolina was a good idea. And so he got very calculated with how that tournament was going to move in the years to come. And so he actually signed off on the Georgia Dome tournament in 2001 because at that time the tournament was laid out in five-year cycles. But he also understood kind of the vision for the league. And, you know, he's going to be remembered for the Florida State deal, okay, because the Florida State deal, you know, last week the one thing that we tried, and certainly Mark and I talked about it on Monday, people who just think Florida State was an automatic in this league or don't remember. I mean, it was there was a lot of diplomacy that went into that. There were some schools that did not want Florida State in this league because of the academic, you know, thinking of what Florida State was compared to other schools in the league.
What do you think the biggest selling point to Bobby Bowden and the folks at Florida State was going into the ACC?
That the ACC was going to create a path for them to win a national championship, and they would not have to break their bank every year playing more games on the road than they played at home.
And they were right.
Oh, yeah, they were right. And here's the other thing, too. They were also going to give Florida State a home for national championship caliber baseball and what ultimately would become national championship caliber basketball. You know, remember now, they showed up in the league with Rodney Dobard and Doug Edwards and Bob Sura and Sam Cassell and were taking names, you know. And that's the kind of thing that we all have to look at and remember that the commissioner had the great foresight. And, you know, let's be honest. And Pac's right about this. That family in many respects now with Boo the AD at NC State and Kevin is the lacrosse coach at Notre Dame, not to mention the various positions that Gene held in his great career, they kind of are the first family of the ACC. I mean – when you think about it, he worked for Jim Weaver in creating the Service Bureau with Skeeter Francis years ago, then came back to succeed Bob James, was an AD, went to school at Duke, coached at Duke, kind of was a sports information guy at Duke, then was the AD at Virginia, Notre Dame, which obviously has some you know status in this league now, hired Lou Holtz at Notre Dame.
Somebody tell Mike Bray about that.
Yeah, I mean, make sure you know. He knows. hired Muffet McGraw as the basketball coach on the women's side. I mean, there's so much about Gene Corrigan that I really do believe it's really been undervalued, and unfortunately it may have taken his passing last Saturday to really be grasped and appreciated going forward by those who just follow the league but don't kind of understand the roots of the league, if you will.
And it seems fitting, speaking of going back to roots, that the tournament is going back to Greensboro.
Yeah.
We have big plans for Greensboro hosting the ACC tournament in just a couple of weeks. It's crazy to think it's just a few weeks away. The ACC tournament's return for the first time in 5 years. When you look, it does seem like you got to do something for Gene Corrigan at that site more than anything else. You acknowledge ACC legends, and he's certainly one of those, but that's going to be a big deal where you could have North Carolina potentially having to win the ACC tournament to get through, and then, of course, an opportunity to recognize one of the most important figures this league's ever had.
Well, I think the commissioner will take care of that. I have no doubt that because the mentor that Gene Corrigan was to John Swofford, that won't be an issue. He is, you know, he values the commissioner, does Gene Corrigan as much as anybody I know. You know, we were grateful and blessed to have the Corrigans as family friends and still do. I mean, my mom and Lena, Gene's widow, talk on a regular basis all the time. And so, and of course, you know, Lena and my mom always joke now that the kids run the place because, you know, Boo's at State and I'm on the network, and Billy and Barb Packer, who's Mark's parents, are good friends of the Corrigans as well. And we're doing this show, and Kevin's coaching at Notre Dame, and, you know, it's like the kids have been given the keys a little bit. And that's, I joke around and say, well, I wouldn't spread that around very much, Mom, if y'all don't mind. But, you know, it's an interesting, it'll be an interesting time in Greensboro because, Josh, the tournament, and I've tried to tell some folks with the network who are working with us for the first time, the tournament is different in Greensboro. The tournament has a unique feel in Greensboro because of the history in the building. I mean, the Coliseum and Matt Brown, they do such an unbelievable job, and the Greensboro Sports Foundation does a great job, that when you get in that building, you feel, you know, Skip Brown bringing the ball up the floor for Wake Forest in the 70s. You feel Rod Griffin in the late 70s. You get Phil Ford. You get Len Bias when Maryland won the tournament in 84. I mean, that building, it's changed the seats. It's changed a little bit of its look. But it still has the ghost in the building of tournaments past that show up in there. And stuff happens. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how the building works this year with the way the league is shaking out.
Before we let you go, Wes, Wes Durham with us from the ACC Network. Also, you're the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. You had a chance to see at least one of these teams and that's playing in the Super Bowl. Chiefs, 49ers, we will hear Kevin Harlan's voice from Westwood One on Super Sunday. Look forward to hearing that, as always, each year hearing Kevin's call of that game. But where do you see a mismatch or a key matchup in this Super Bowl? Because I feel like you're getting the better quarterback with the Chiefs, maybe even the better coach in Andy Reid, but I feel like top to bottom, the 49ers have a better roster, and 9 times out of 10, it seems like that's what wins when both these things go head-to-head.
I just think it's a really good game. And if you're asking me to pick somebody, I would tell you Kansas City only because I think they got more weapons offensively. I think San Francisco is really good, and Atlanta was fortunate to stage a great comeback to win the ball game out there in December. But I believe that the way it sets up, Kansas City's got a little bit more thump and on offense, and they certainly, I think, have an advantage in the return game and even perhaps in the kick game with Harrison Butker. But it shapes up to be a really good game. I mean, that's why the margin, I think, is narrow on the spread and things like that. And it'll be fun to watch, but there's two really good quarterbacks. But Mahomes plays with a lot of poise, doesn't he? I mean, he's a guy that, man, he doesn't get too high or too low. He does get enthusiastic and passionate about his team. But whenever a bad throw is made, he puts it away and moves on to the next one. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of guys in the league that want to be like that and very few that are like that.
Wes, we'll see you in Greensboro very soon the next time we see you. Enjoy Super Sunday, and send our regards to Mr. Packer, Chester and Fuller, and, of course, Clifford DeCat.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Take care.
Appreciate Wes Durham for being with us from the ACC Network. I'll tell you why Jeff Capel is the front runner to become Coach K's successor next on The Drive.